Today, we are beginning a brand new message series titled Healthy Values. And so you could take out your message notes and follow right along with us. You know, this teaching series, I think, is so important because like any business, any organization, really any family, any individual, you are defined by your values. And think of values like a compass. Does anybody have a compass? Anybody? Actually, anybody have a phone, a cell phone? Then you have a compass because it's actually on your phone. There's an app for that that comes with it automatically. Now, a compass is instrumental in providing direction. In fact, it's considered one of the most important pieces in navigation. And so are values to my life and your life. Our values direct and guide us towards success and significance, but not just any values, God's values. And God's values, when we adopt them into our life, into our thinking, into the constitution we are as a person, it helps you and I significantly, especially in this world that is just topsy-turvy, filled with confusion, filled with lots of mixed messages. You can count on the values that come from God's word to provide lasting and legitimate direction and guidance for you and I. And so each week, we're going to be looking at a particular value. And I want to start off today by talking to you about the value of readiness. Now, what is the value of readiness? You'll notice it right here in your notes. Less scared when prepared. Can you say that with me? Less scared when prepared. The value of readiness calls you and I to action, as it does in many places in the Bible, to be people who are prepared. And see, there's a lot of trepidation considering all that's going on in our society today. And sometimes we can even not know where we stand with God. But when we live a life approved by God, when we live this message out of readiness that's found throughout the scriptures, by the way, this value, it puts us into a place of faith, not fear, a place of peace, not panic. And you want one of the values that guides your life to be readiness. And interestingly enough, we just came through a season, we do it every year, where we celebrate the first coming of Christ. How many of you believe in the first coming of Christ? Christmas, okay? All of us do. How many of you believe in the second coming of Christ? And so God wants us to not just worry about the first coming of Christ. That already happened. We should celebrate it. But we should have an eager expectation concerning the second coming of Christ. And the Bible calls that a readiness. And when we have that type of readiness, it helps us in all areas of our life. We want to be a prepared people, whether we die of natural means and we live a long life or the Lord returns in our lifetime, whatever it might be, we want to be a people of readiness. Now, the idea of readiness and preparation took center stage in the news this past week. How many of you have found and heard about the news story of those who were on I-95 in Virginia during the snowstorm? Was anybody on I-95 during that time? Okay. Now, there were some people who were there for over 15 hours. Electric cars, they went dead. People ran out of gas. And so the big talk was what to keep in your car if you should be stuck in a storm or something like that. Number one, they said you need to have a first aid kit. Gloves were on there, warm clothes, blankets, bottles, and ways that you potentially might have to go to the bathroom. You can use your imagination for that. They talked about having snacks and other types of things that you want to have handy in the case of being stranded, you know, this idea of readiness and preparation. Well, life's a lot like that, isn't it? Life's a journey with a lot of unpredictable twists and turns, and storms could come our way. And by God's grace, if we adopt this value of readiness, we too could be prepared. And so I want to direct your attention to the 12th chapter of Luke's gospel. And we're going to be reading verses 35 to 40. They're right there in your notes and on the screen. You could follow right along. But I want to just read to you the passage first, and then we'll break it down together, okay? Starting off here, this particular chapter deals a lot with the second coming of Christ. And here, verse 35 kicks it off by saying, "Be ready for service and have your lamps lit. You are to be like people waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet so that when he comes and knocks, they can open the door for him at once." Verse 37 says, "Blessed will be those servants the master finds alert when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will get ready and have them recline at the table. then come and serve him. If he comes in the middle of the night or even near dawn and finds them alert, blessed are those servants. But know this, Jesus says, if the homeowner had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also be ready, because the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Thanks be to God for the preserving of his word so that we could read it today. Let's break this passage down, because here we find the value of readiness. And I truly believe as we adopt these values into our life, it will raise all boats in the harbor, so to speak. Our relationships, our work, our own business, our own careers, whatever it might be, athletics, education, whatever you have dreams of, as you and I have values that God approves, you could expect his blessing not to be far behind. And so let's look at this value of readiness. Let's break this verse down here. We're going to start with verse 35 and take the first part. It says, be ready for service. Can you say that with me? Be ready for service. Now, the Greek text literally translates this to mean, gird up your loins. Now, you might say, what does that mean, to gird up your loins? Well, you might use a belt. Having a belt is a good thing because you don't want your pants to fall down, I guess, okay? Well, in those days, they didn't have belts like we had them. They had something like a satchel. And even if you were not a person of great means, you had the regular garments you wore, and then you had something like that of a robe that you wore over your garments. And the idea was that you would gird up your loins, you would tie together your robe, and in some cases, you might even take off your robe if you were going to battle, so that you would not be slowed down for whatever the objective was. You know, it's kind of like an athlete that plays a sport. He doesn't go out and play in his pajamas. He has a uniform on, and he has himself in a certain way, not just so he's coordinated with his team so that he could accomplish the goal of scoring or pitching or hitting or catching a pass, throwing a pass, whatever it might be. And so we understand that. For example, on the news, when you watch our great first responders or the firemen, if they're going on a fire and they're climbing a ladder or they're going to rescue somebody, they're not in their bathrobe, okay, or their bathing suit. Or flip-flops, okay? And so there's this understanding we have in our culture of being, you know, dressed for battle, dressed for success. Well, this is this idea of, you know what, gird up your loins, tie yourself together so that you could best position yourself for your objective to accomplish it. And this phrase, gird up your loins, be ready for service, is something that is mentioned in the Hebrew text as well. You might recall in the book of Exodus, God saying as you went for the Passover meal, gird up your loins. God said it to Job, gird up your loins. He said it to Jeremiah, gird up your loins. Peter literally says it in his epistle in 1 Peter 1:13, gird up the loins of your mind. In other words, tie things together. Don't look like an unmade bed walking around, okay, in other words. And so there's a biblical principle here that you want to write down if you want to be ready, if you want this value of readiness in your life, because you don't want to miss what God has for you in this new year. Write this principle down. Tie up my loose ends. Can you say that with me? Tie up my loose ends. And we have loose ends. Everybody has loose ends. And you want to tie them up. Because that's what it means to gird up your loins. You got to tie up your loose ends. Because you want to be ready for what God has for you. And you don't want to be sloppy or lazy or nonchalant when it comes to life. Because things could pass you by. Opportunities could pass you by. Blessings could pass you by. And in this new year, you want to be ready. You want to be ready for what God has. And if Christ returns this year, so be it. Wonderful. I think all of us would sign up for that right about now, okay? But regardless if Christ comes back in my lifetime, in your lifetime or not, or this year or this month or before taxes are due, whatever, however you want to say it, okay? The main thing is that we are a ready people. And when we are ready, we'll be ready to receive God's blessing. And so be ready for service literally means to tie up your loose ends. And so here are three suggestions, if you will, recommendations, okay, of areas that you might want to consider tying up. And I think everything else kind of feeds into this. Here's the first area, trust. Can you say that with me? Trust. You know, where is your trust today? Is it in yourself? Is it in your bank account? Certainly, I hope it's not in politicians or government or anything like that. Our trust needs to be in the Lord our God. The Bible says, blessed is the person whose trust is the Lord their God. Take notice of what it says in Psalm 20, verse 7. Why don't we say this verse together aloud, a great verse to commit to memory. Together. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. That needs to be said of me and of you, that we're trusting in God, that we are a people who are trusting in who God is and what he can do for us, because the battle belongs to the Lord. See, at times we drift from God. Has anybody ever drifted from God, right? And what do we say? You know, my mother years ago gave me this this saying, and I keep it in the office. You know, if we're drifting and we say God moved, it's kind of like being a boat and saying the dock moved. The dock didn't move. We moved. And so we ultimately find our way back by tying up the loose end of our trust. Don't trust in money. Don't even trust in your job. Don't trust in your charisma. Don't trust in your good looks. Some of you got that problem. You're real good looking. Some don't got that problem, I understand, okay? But all jokes aside, don't trust in those temporal things. Trust in the Lord your God. Trust in him. Trust in what he has for you. You'll never regret that level of faith. And really, in this new year, what a great goal, what a great resolution to say, I'm going to stop trusting and leaning on the things that are temporal, and I'm going to lean on that which is eternal. God is going to be the center of my life, not just when there's a crisis, not just when it's convenient, but I'm going to trust God in the valley, and I'm going to trust him on the mountain, and I'm going to trust him when I'm climbing the mountain. That's going to be my perspective, and that's one of the loose ends we need to tie up. We don't want to be sloppy when it comes to our trust. We don't want to have this kind of, you know, what's in it for me type of trust with God, or let's make a deal with God type of thing. We want to say, God, I want to walk by faith and not by sight. That's going to be the way that defines my life in this new year. Here's another loose end that we got to tie up, temptation. Can you say that with me? Temptation. Now, how many of you like losing? Anybody like losing? I don't know. Somebody raise your hand. That was a trick question, I guess, but I didn't know anybody said, yeah, I like losing. Yeah, it's great losing. There's wonderful little, there's a losing going on, okay? The other day, I have my Giants gear on because I came back from coaching a game, and this guy said to me, he goes, you got a lot of pride to be wearing that around here, okay? Because the Giants do nothing but lose, okay? They forgot how to win, okay? You know, it's not fun losing all the time. It's great winning. Feels great winning. Well, we don't want to lose to temptation. Some of us have had habits for years get the best of us. And we've made those habits, we think they're so big that we can't overcome them. Let me remind you, by the grace of God, go you and I. You are more than a conqueror. God has victory in your future. And we want to be the type of people that say in this new year, I'm going to tie up the loose ends of my temptation. That might mean I got to stop thinking I'm better than this, or I got to get myself in a group like the Freedom Ministry, like a Bible study, like prayer. I got to become more consistent in my church attendance. I got to become more consistent in my devotions and my praying. I got to beat these temptations, and God will provide the way. Look what it says here in 1 Corinthians 10:13, the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Corinth, and he says it this way, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. So in other words, what you're going through is very similar to what other people have gone through. There's nothing new under the sun. As far as temptation is concerned, God is faithful. I like that part because temptation's a reality, but guess what else is a reality? God's faithfulness. And he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. In other words, God has put more in you than he will allow to be put on you. And check this out. But with the temptation, he will also provide a way of escape that you'll be able to overcome it ultimately, the scripture's telling you. There's going to be an off-ramp. And one of the great off-ramps to overcoming temptation is what we're doing right now, coming to worship the Lord our God, opening the scriptures, learning from his word, singing praises to God and praying. The enemy wants to keep you isolated from the things of God. Why? Because when you're in isolation, he could do a number on you. Divide and conquer has always been an art of war. And the enemy knows that if he could get you and I away from the things of God, we are more susceptible to be picked off. So you and I want to be ready. And one of the ways we're ready is we want to beat the temptations, and we can do that. Here's a third area I want to suggest. Time. Can you say that with me? Time. You could, you know, listen, social media is great for connecting people and, oh, so-and-so got this. And look, so-and-so got a new haircut. So-and-so got a new shirt. I mean, after a while, who cares, okay? But you can waste a lot of time. Technology is great, but as great as technology is, you can waste a lot of time, okay? And we can waste a lot of time arguing over things and all these types of things. We want to be the type of people that guard our time because our time and our readiness go together. Look what it says here in 1 Timothy 4:7. Can we say this verse together aloud? This is Paul writing to his young protege, Timothy, to encourage him. And notice about time. Let's say it together. Don't waste time arguing over foolish ideas and silly myths and legends. Spend your time and energy in the exercise of keeping spiritually fit. You know, we don't want to be flabby with our faith. We don't want to have weakness with our faith. We want to be spiritually strong. And time management is one of the ways you do that. You want to make sure that you're giving God not the first place in your life, because he could be first today and second tomorrow, and by the end of the week, he could be 10th. You want God to be the center of your life. You want everything going on in your life, listen to this, to revolve around God. And you want to know this, that God will honor that type of mentality. He'll honor that perspective. You know, when we truly seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, what does it say? That seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Sometimes we know what, God, I'll trust you, but I can't go this far. That's a little ridiculous, because that'll get in the way of this, or I got to work, I got to do this. And that's true, but guess what? God is greater than all those things. And if we're going to say, you know, if God gives you tomorrow, why not trust God with tomorrow? Because he's already in tomorrow. And so it makes logical sense, spiritual sense, and emotional and mental strength sense, for crying out loud, for you and I to be a type of people that are tying up our loose ends with our time and saying, God, I want to give you my time. I want to use my time wisely. And I know that that's going to bless every area of my life. I want to stop being lazy. I don't want to be lazy when it comes to your work. I heard about this, that one of the sons in this family, and it was a hardworking family. Dad set a great example for his kids. And this one son, he just wouldn't work. And so the family was starting to get fed up with him. They loved him, but they said, listen, if you're going to say you're, because his thing was that he was always sick. If you're always sick, you got to go to the doctor then and get a diagnosis then. And so he goes, okay, I'll go to the doctor. So he goes to the doctor, and the doctor checks him out. And then he says, meet me in my office, he did a thorough examination, meet me in my office, and we're going to talk about it. And so he goes to sit down in the doctor's office, and he says, Doc, I want you to give it to me straight. None of this fancy medical stuff. Give it to me straight. Let me know what condition I have. Doctor says, you want it straight? He goes, yes, I do. I can handle it. Tell me, what do I got? And he goes, you know what? You're lazy. That's what you are. You're lazy. So the man sat back and he went, oh boy. He goes, Doc, he goes, do me a favor. Give me all that fancy medical jargon so I can go tell my family then, okay? I can't tell them I'm lazy. You know, maybe it's sometimes when things don't happen the way they happen, we want to blame situations and circumstances and other people. But you know what I've noticed in my own life, and here's just an honest admission of my own stupidity, is I got to look in the mirror. That's what I got to do. And I got to say, God, how hard am I working here for you? How strong am I? How much am I pursuing you like I need to? I don't want to be the type of person that makes a mistake with your work, with your will, with your plans that you have for me. You know, I heard about this story about this dispatcher who was watching a college football game. Nothing wrong with watching college football. I know the championship game's on Monday night, but he was watching it while he was working. And as he got some instructions that came through the wire that he had to give, and you hear this a lot with Portland, Maine, and Maine, Massachusetts, he was given some instructions about a shipment that needed to go. And so he wasn't really paying attention. He was being a little lazy with the communication. And so he just heard Maine, and he assumed it was Portland, Maine. And they wind up sending the shipment to Portland, Maine, what should have went to Massachusetts and Maine. But guess what? They were based in New Jersey. So it wind up being thousands of dollars in a mistaken shipment. And it cost the company thousands of dollars. And then when they found out, it eventually cost them his job. Okay? And that's what laziness does. It could cost us our position where we are. We want to be the type of people, when Jesus says, be ready for service, he's saying, tie up your loose ends. Now, dig deeper on that. What loose ends do you have? Maybe you got a loose end of forgiveness. You just can't forgive everybody. Oh, you want God's forgiveness, but you can't give anybody else forgiveness, okay? Well, God has forgiven you, we're told in Ephesians 4:32, so forgive as Christ has forgiven you. Tie up that loose end. In this new year, don't let bitterness hold you down anymore. You want to be the type of person that doesn't walk around with a grudge list. You want to have a gratitude list. And what I've noticed, if I have a grudge list, sometimes it's hard to be thankful. And so I want to give these things over to God. I want to extend forgiveness. I want to tie up that loose end. You know, I might have a loose end where I talked about time. Maybe I'm spending time where I shouldn't. I got to tie that loose end. There might be some people I got to change, okay? There might be a perspective I need to change. I might need to turn off the news and pick up my Bible more, okay? You with me on that? So we got to tie up some loose ends, okay? Now, change is not easy. Would you agree with that, okay? Can you do an exercise with me? Could everybody, how do you fold your hands? Can you just fold your hands like this? Can you do this? You know, like when you know it all? Okay. Everybody can do that, okay? I like to sit like this because it helps my back though, okay? All right. Could you switch it now? Could you do it the other way? Everybody. Oh, it's a little awkward, isn't it, right? It's a little awkward to do it like that, right? You kind of, okay, change is not easy, okay? When you're used to doing something a certain way and thinking a certain way, especially as we get older, it's hard. But God wants you to tie up some loose ends. He wants you to make some changes in your values for the glory of his work. Now, let's read on here. Look at the second part. It says, so we have be ready for service. Here's the next one. And have your lamps lit. Can you say that with me? And have your lamps lit. Now, as you know, I read you the passage at the start here. There's this master who's away. And the master is saying he's away at a wedding banquet. And he's saying, be ready for service. Tie up your loose ends. Gird up your loins. Tie up your robe so that you could be useful for service because the master's coming back. And when the master comes back, you need to be ready. And one of the ways you need to be ready is you need to have your lamps lit so the master could see as he comes into the house, naturally. They didn't have remember the clapper? The master couldn't go like this and the lights would come on. He couldn't say, Alexa, turn on the porch light, and the porch light came on. They didn't have that luxury. He couldn't say, Siri, turn on the lights. They didn't have that. And so the servant who girded up their loins had to be there with the lamp so that the master could see and he could open the door so the master could come in, essentially, have your lamps lit. Now, what does that mean spiritually, light? Well, light is symbolic of God's presence, God's plans, God's purposes, God's peace, God's pardon, God's power, and just keep adding to that. It's symbolic and it represents the things of God, whereas darkness in the scriptures is the polar opposite. One of our memory verses that we released on our social media is a verse concerning darkness and light today. We must see it this way, that God wants us to walk in the light. The Bible says that repeatedly. And so, what God is saying here, what Jesus is saying here about having your lamp lit, he's saying, don't waste time in the darkness. So write this second principle down. Steer clear of spiritual darkness. Can you say that with me? Steer clear of spiritual darkness. You know, God didn't save you and bring you to the marvelous light for you to go get lost down the alley of darkness. You need to realize that. And we don't want to spend time in dark places and people who do dark things and people, you know, and somebody could look like the light, but they could have dark values and their dark values bring you down. So you want to be the type of person that you are aligning yourself. You're in agreement with God and you're in agreement with people who are in agreement with God who have values that represent the light. And then I go, well, I feel this way. My hormones, this, that, that. Listen, you have free will. I have free will to do really what we please, but there is a price to pay. We must realize that. And we want to have this value of readiness that says, I want to have my lamp lit. That if Christ returns in my lifetime, I'm not wasting time meandering down the alleyways of darkness. That I am walking in the light because he is in the light. That's a focus that we want to have in this new year because far too many times we think we know better and we go down roads we shouldn't. I've heard this story several different ways, but you know, sometimes when families are traveling, let's just say that sometimes men think they know it all. Okay, that's the case, okay? And so this family was going away and the husband was arguing with the wife on directions because she's saying, well, the GPS says go this way. And he says, no, I know this shortcut. We're going to go that way. And she says, well, the sign says bridge out. He says, I don't care what it says. It's not out. We could save a lot of time going this way. So they go down that road and they start traveling and they go a considerable amount of distance. And then guess what they find? The bridge is out. And so he turns the car around. Now there's complete silence in the car. The wife is biting her tongue. She wants to say so badly, I told you so, okay? Now, she didn't have to because as they approached the sign that said bridge out, on the back of the sign said, welcome back, stupid, okay, as they were coming by. Has anybody ever had a welcome back, stupid moment in their life? Okay. I tell you, I've had way too many of them in my life. You know, welcome back, stupid. You go down a road, God says, don't go down. Welcome back, stupid, right? Well, really, I guess it's welcome back, you know, forgiven sinner or something like that. But a lot of times we're spending time on Stunage Street and we shouldn't, okay? We want to be the type of people who are learning from those things. Because you know what? If you keep going down stupid street, you're stupid, okay? Let's just say it like that, okay? Hey, can you say that in church? Yeah, because we're trying to encourage people here, okay? All right? You want to steer clear of spiritual darkness. And if God has a posted sign, don't go down it. Don't do it. It's only going to lead to regret. There's going to be nothing good that comes from that. God has better for me and for you. And so have your lamps lit. Stay off of the roads that God does not approve. And remember it this way. Never trade in the approval of God for the applause of the world. And so the world might be saying, go here, green lights. But God is saying, no, 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 because God knows the bridge is out. God knows the train's coming. God knows the road is not going to be good for you to be on. You want to be in the light because he's in the light. And we don't want in any way manipulate that. Look what it says in 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. Why don't we say this verse together aloud? This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light, and there is absolutely no darkness in him. If we say we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we are lying and not practicing the truth. Now, we're not practicing the truth if we're spending time in the darkness here. You want to be the type of person that's practicing the truth. Now, some of you who like athletics or who work out, you appreciate training because, you know, you don't get to where you need to get without training, without putting the hard work in. And think about your Christian life. See, some of us grew up thinking that this was just a religion thing, you know? Let me come in and get my religion in for 45 minutes or an hour, whatever it is, and then I leave. It's much more than that. This is like your gym. This is your classroom, okay? And you're training spiritually. That's how you practice the truth. You're getting it. And then what happens is as you put the work in, you're able to display it on the field of life. And it works that way. And so we want to steer clear of the darkness, and we want to constantly be seeking the light because he is in the light. And that is how we'll be ready. Because again, whether it's the Lord's return in our lifetime, or whether it is we're going to live, whether our life is cut short, we live long years, whatever it might be, let it be said of us that we are on the roads that God approves. Now, let's look at the rest of this passage here. We read it earlier, but we're going to break it down. So be ready for service. So we got to what? Be ready for service and have your lamps lit. What? Have your lamps lit. So gird up your loins. Don't waste time in the ways of darkness. And now here it is. You are to be like people waiting for the master to return from a wedding banquet so that when he knocks, when he comes and knocks, they can open the door for him at once. Now, big deal. He goes to a wedding. And we're thinking in our culture, you go to a wedding and maybe it's in New Jersey or something like that. And you come back, maybe they're gone for 8 hours, counting travel and everything like that, okay? And then, you know, certain cultures, you can't say goodbye. It takes 2 hours just to say goodbye to people, okay? So they come back 6 or 8 hours, okay? Well, that's not what it was in these days. In these days, weddings lasted anywhere from 4 to 7 days. Basically, the wedding ended when the food ran out. I like those types of weddings, by the way, okay? We need to go back to that, okay? And so the master could come back at any time. He'd come back in 3 days. He'd come back in 72 hours. He'd come back in 96 hours. We don't know when he was going to come back, but the master's going to come back. He's at this banquet. He's at this celebration, and he's going to come back. And the servant of the home, by the way, this servant is like a family member of this home. He has his room and board is taken care of, and he's treated like a family member. The servant needs to be ready with his loins girded. In other words, his robe tied up so he's ready to help and serve. He's got to have his lamp lit so that he can receive the master and serve the master. Essentially, he could do what the master's calling. Now, look at verse 37 says, blessed will be those servants the master finds alert when he comes. Now, this is a promise here. You know, when God promises something, it's not like how you and I sometimes promise something. Sometimes we mean well, but it's hyperbole, not with God. When God says something, you could take it to the bank. Blessed will be the servants the master finds alert when he comes. Circle the word alert. The word alert gives us the idea in the Greek text here of somebody who has their eyes wide open and their ears are wide open. Their attention is not diverted. Their mind is made up. It gives us the idea of kind of what Paul said, a very similar grammatical structure in Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, when the Apostle Paul said to the church at Colossae, set your mind on things above, not on the things of this world. So in other words, the servant who is alert has his mind, listen to this, don't miss this, on the master's business. And that's kind of the perspective, that the posture that we need to have, this value of readiness, that my mind is on the master's business. And now listen to this, truly I tell you, and this adds an emphasis in Greek culture and Greek literature. Jesus says, truly I tell you. In other words, underline this, don't miss this, truly I tell you, he will get ready. So now the Lord's getting ready, and have him recline at the table and then come and serve them. This is truly amazing. In other words, Jesus says, the one who is ready serving me, one day I will serve him. And I have to tell you, my little vocabulary, I just can't even begin to wax poetically and put this into words. All I could tell you is this is going to be truly amazing. I would imagine tears will flow from our eyes when we will be in the presence of the Lord and he is serving us. In other words, the Lord is saying, I will reward your faithfulness. And I would imagine our heart is just going to be overwhelmed in that moment. Truly amazing. Verse 38, if he comes in the middle of the night or even near dawn and finds them alert, again, their mindset on me, blessed are those servants. People know, how am I going to be blessed? I want to live my best. I want to live a blessed life. I want to be blessed. We say, God bless you. Somebody sneezes, God bless you. We don't like somebody, we say, God bless you. I hope your car crashes. I mean, we just say it. We just throw it around like you wouldn't believe. But oh boy, God's blessing, it is something to look forward to. God is going to bless those servants, those willing servants of his. And then verse 39 gives a contrast, and then we'll give the point. But know this, Jesus says. If the homeowner had known at what hour the thief was coming. So now he kind of switches gears, a different picture. First, it's the master owns the home and the servant's at the home. Now we get the picture of this regular person who owns the home, who's worried about a thief. If the homeowner had known what hour the thief was coming, he would have not let his house be broken into. No thief ever writes a note the night before and says, I'm going to break into your house when you go away. Okay, nobody does that. Okay, verse 40 here. Here's the illustration, the point. You also be ready. There's again, be ready, because the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. You got a lot of people walking around. That's why the doctrine of eschatology has been perverted. Eschatology in Greek means the study of last things. There's a lot of kooks out there that teach a lot of nutty things. They give hours and dates about when Jesus is going to return. Here's the thing about all those people. They've been wrong 100% of the time. We're still here. His return is imminent, meaning that it's imminent on God's timetable, but we don't know exactly when. Now, I don't know about you. I'd sign up today to say, let it happen in my lifetime right now. Come, Lord Jesus, come, given all that's going on. But I think God has a little bit more work and business for his people to do before that happens. But we're seeing things line up in such a way, even as it relates to America right now, that we could see that we're getting closer and closer to the return of Christ. It's not something that anybody should fear, but should look forward to if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the point here. If you have any fear concerning the second coming of Christ, then you need to make sure that you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. He died for your sins, and on the third day he rose again from the dead. The Bible says, if you confess him as Lord, as God's Son, you shall be saved. And so you want to repent of your sins and turn to Christ. And if you already believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you want to have an expectation and you want to be busy doing the Lord's business. So write this last principle down. If you want to be ready, and here it is, remain busy doing God's business. Can you say that with me? Remain busy doing God's business. Okay, now I'm going to pause and I'm going to sing to you the song, Taking Care of Business, okay? Now, I'm not going to sing it, but here's a couple of the words, okay? Here it is. You get up every morning from your alarm clock's warning, take the 8:15 into the city. There's a whistle up above and people shoving, people pushing, and girls who try to look pretty. And if your train's on time and you get to work by 9 and start your slaving job to get your pay, if you ever get annoyed, look at me, I'm self-employed. I love to work at nothing all day, and I'll be taking care of business every day. taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all mine, taking care of business and working overtime work out. Now, there's more lyrics to it, but I think you get the point. Well, the only difference with this song, maybe we can make a hymn, we could change it to a hymn or a praise song. We want to be taking care of his business, his kingdom business. That's the business we want to be about. If you want to be ready for the Lord's return, you want to be ready for God's blessing in your life. This value of readiness, it raises again all boats in the harbor of your life, your relationships, your work, how you deal with situations in your life that come your way. When you have this readiness to say, I want to be a type of person that is living to please and honor God, it will without question add incredible value to your life. You'll never regret this value of readiness, of being prepared. You know, the great John Wooden, who coached UCLA, he talked about preparation. And I love Coach Wooden, who's a believer, by the way, in heaven now. But he talked about the games, and they said, did you ever get nervous with the games? He said, no, I didn't. I knew the game plan. I knew we worked hard. And I just sat back and watched. I couldn't wait to win, okay? And that's what happens when we're prepared. I'm not saying everything's going to go our way, but even when it doesn't, we know if we're going God's way, we are more than conquerors in Christ. And that is a winning mindset that we need to have. You know, I close with this story, and it's about, you may have seen that show, Undercover Boss. So it kind of follows along that theme. And some of these upper echelon companies, the people in the different rings of the company, they don't even know who the boss is. But this particular boss decided that not only would he go and spy on what his employees were doing, he took a job to work at the company. And so he went through the process. I mean, he did the drug test. He did everything, the background check. And he goes and he works in the company, and he wanted to see, because he noticed there was deficiencies in a particular department. And so he said, the only way for me to get to them is to essentially be, you know, become one of them. I have to go to the company, because people tell the boss what he wants to hear. And so he goes and he applies to the position, and he's accepted and everything like that. It took a little while. He goes through the process, and he notices that there's these two employees that are over this particular department, and they couldn't be more different. One of them is so diligent, so honest, so assertive to help those who are under him, adding value to others. But then there was this other guy who was just so lazy. He couldn't be bothered to help anybody else. He would leave early. He would come in late. He would even take supplies home from the business. And he noticed right away where the problem was coming from. And the rubber really met the road one day when there was a spill, and the guy wouldn't clean it. He had his feet up. He wouldn't jump down and clean it. The other guy, who was a faithful employee, he got on his hands and knees and cleaned it up real quick. And when the boss said, before he announced that he was the boss, he said, hey, why didn't you get up and clean it? Why did the other guy do it? He goes, well, that's not my job. I don't do that. He goes, this is my position. I'm in administration. And the boss said, not anymore. Okay, not anymore. He then rewarded the other employee for his faithfulness that he watched for several weeks, and the fact that he was willing to do whatever it took to make sure things were running smoothly. I submit to you today that God is looking at me and he's looking at you, and he's evaluating how we're working. It actually says in the Old Testament that God is looking to and fro, and he's looking and watching to see who's seeking after him. If you want to be ready, whether it's for the Lord's return or a blessing in 2022, you want to be the type of person that is prepared and positioning yourself for God to do great things in your life. And you know, as we close, let me say this as well. Stop limiting God. Stop limiting your availability to God. You want to be the type of person that says, God, here I am, use me. My time is yours. My resources are yours. My heart is yours. God, I know in the past I've made certain promises to you, and my life's been a bar graph up and down, but no more of this, because I'm adopting this attitude of readiness. If you come back tonight, whether it's in, and that watch, he said, whether he comes back at the first watch, that was from obviously 12 to 3 or 3 to 6, whatever it is, whenever God returns in your life, whatever God wants you to do, whether it's convenient or not, you want to be the type of person that is faithful to God, because you will enjoy that, those words that Jesus will say one day, well done, good and faithful servant. And those words right there will be a blessing to your ears. But until then, strive to be faithful to the Lord, taking care of his business. Be ready in season and out of season. Let's be the type of people in this new year that we know that there's a lot that we don't understand, a lot that might be coming that we don't know, but this much is true. God is still on the throne. Jesus is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and we want to spend all our days being ready for him. And if the Lord returns in our lifetime, so be it. Make sure your faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Make sure we know that there's no other name by which we could be saved but the name of Jesus. Let us not settle for some emotionalism version of Christianity that we get, you know, our ears tickled and we feel good about ourselves. This isn't all there is. There's a heaven to come, and until that time comes for me and you to be in God's presence that way, let it be said of all of us that we are ready. We're ready for what God wants to do in our lives. And so to God be the glory for the grace he's shown us before. And by God's grace, we ask him to go before us now that we may be a ready people. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Let's pray together.